What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture Podcast. Just Sid and Carl here in studio today. How you doing, Carl?
I'm good, man.
Good. Wish we had Brandon Sakani here, but we still got some good stuff for you guys. We're going to talk Andrew Luck. Obviously, had that shocking retirement. Also, we got a lot of conversations about who's the best running backs in the league. You know, Saquon kind of put his name in there and said he's the best. So Carl and I will give you our top five running backs in the league right now. Also, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, has a warrant out for his arrest. We'll react to that a little bit. Joe Johnson getting some interest from the NBA now after balling out in the Big Three. And I think he claimed the MVP for this year too. So, but first things first, before we get started, I just want to shout out the CGA Tour podcast. I was able to be on Calvin's podcast episode earlier this week. So that should be dropping soon.
Shout out to you.
Yeah. So just make sure to follow the CGA Tour podcast on Instagram. Check them out on Anchor as well. And I will share that episode as soon as it's posted as well. All right. So let's get to Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck obviously retired from the league after 7 years. Complete shocker. No one saw it coming. Conversation's kind of been about Andrew Luck for the past week now, pretty much since he's announced his retirement. A lot of people on both sides of the fence. I know I definitely took issue with the Colts fans that booed him on the sideline, you know, once they found out about the news. But first things first, what's your reaction to his retirement in general?
I understand it. I'm not mad at him. I feel bad for him. I felt a lot of sympathy. And I talk a lot on this show about a player's perspective and like a human perspective. And sometimes people just not realizing that it's more to life than just a sport or the profession of somebody. I had to stand on that. As soon as I heard that he was retiring, I had to put myself in his shoes and understand that this can't be easy for him. You've been playing football since you was 8, 9 years old.
Right.
You know, for the last 20, 21 years or whatever, all you've known is football, and now you're not doing that no more. That's a scary decision to make.
Yeah.
So I'm with him.
Yeah. I mean, he talked about how this was the hardest decision of his life. I know he's had some major milestones recently, got married, I think had his first kid and everything as well. So the fact that, you know, I think when you're talking about football players going through rehab, or just athletes in general going through rehab and other things, you know, anything else going on in their life as well, you move those things around in favor of your sport. You know what I mean? You stick, regardless of what's going on, you still play, you still practice, you still do all that stuff, because to most athletes, that comes first, you know, before families, whether they have a family, not whatever. So the fact that he said, you know, football, my first love, I got to put that to the side, it's best for me to step away, that's honorable. You know, I'm not rocking with the people that say, you know, he quit on the team and all this stuff. Like, I understand the timing of it was bad because I think he told someone the news and someone leaked it. So he wanted to announce it. I think not until this past Sunday was when he wanted to announce it. But it just didn't turn out that way because someone leaked that info. I guess reports are saying he only told a few people. He told, like, the owner, the GM, Jacoby Brissett, now the starting quarterback for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
So he only told so few people. So for the news to break while he's on the sideline, it's like someone's foul.
Who do you think it was?
I think it was the owner. Because he's got a history. I mean, think about this. This is the same dude that had, you know, critical comments about Peyton Manning. This is the same dude that said, you know what, we're going to move on from Peyton after the next surgeries and everything. And he's just kind of he's not petty, but he's got a little, you know, he's prideful. So I could see him not necessarily working maliciously to, you know, expect the fans to boo him or anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if he just put it out. You know, I don't see the motivation for anyone else. If you're Jacoby Brissett, what's the upside for you leaking it?
Yeah, you know? People going to find out anyway. I already know I'm going to start this season. So last thing. And plus, we probably got a relationship. I don't need to put your information out there. You're going to do it.
Exactly. But I could see the owner potentially doing it just to kind of get out in front of it. And just like how shortly after that, you know, they say that, hey, the Colts are going to honor it and give him that $24 million, all that stuff. It just seems like that plays out and it benefits the franchise the most, you know, in terms of making them look good. And they're, you know, now a top-notch franchise in the eyes of everyone. They look out for their players. And, you know, it's a free agency ploy, you know, and things like that. So I think it benefits the franchise the most. So I think the owner would even if he didn't leak it himself, he authorized it.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if it was announced, Jacoby Brissett got them to do that? Like, you right. really think? Like, it had to be somebody in that. It had to be somebody in that organization.
Yeah.
Like, not a player, but right. staff member. Had right. to be. Or owner.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, going back to, you know, that 2013 draft, I believe it was. Or was it 2012? One of those years. You know, having Andrew Luck and then Robert Griffin III, number one, number yeah. two overall, back to back. And, you know, RG3's career essentially finished, as we know it. I know he's backing up Lamar Jackson, but unless Lamar Jackson gets hurt, he's not going to have a platform to perform. And then obviously Andrew Luck, you know, retiring. It's just crazy to see how quickly things can change. Changed even quicker for RG3, because RG3 mm-hmm. really only had 1 year, you know, and then before you know it, you know, he had the ACL injury and everything, and in the playoff game. Since. Yeah, it's been bad ever since. So it just shows you how quickly things can change. And I don't think this is going to set a trend or a precedent or anything like that. But I think these are just conversations that players have already had amongst themselves, or maybe things that they've kept to themselves. They've had these thoughts.
Right.
But a guy, you know, the caliber of Andrew Luck, because Andrew Luck's going to be good whether he played football or not. I think he has an architecture degree from Stanford.
Yeah, I recall like, that.
Yeah, so he's set. He's set.
Oh, yeah, especially because he definitely waited.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my contract first.
right, exactly.
I'm not doing this for nothing.
Exactly.
I'm getting my contract first.
Exactly. And, I mean, I think more players, especially at that position, I think that's what made it such a shocker. It'd be different if it's a running back or a wide receiver, a linebacker. You're doling out these hits. You're taking
I mean, Vontae Davis did it in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
That was worse.
Yeah. Oh, that was worse. After he had already, because he had already retired, right? Or he was mulling retirement. I think the Bills were like, nah, we'll pay you this much. So kind of like brought him back out. So he had no intention of even being out there.
Right.
I know some people are kind of throwing some shade at Andrew Luck because it's like, okay, you know, a few weeks before that, you were saying I'm ready to play week one.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. And they were viewed as a contender this year.
Yeah.
But if you have all the pieces, you should be able to plug somebody in.
Right. I mean, they could.
It's happened before at the quarterback position.
They could be set up to be like the Patriots were that year. Tom Brady tore his ACL. Jacoby Brissett could be their Matt Castle and still win 11 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very doable.
Or, I mean, I know it wasn't the whole season. I mean, because people looked at Jacoby Brissett like he was somebody as a third man.
Yeah, after Garoppolo got hurt.
Yeah, and he came and did his thing, and they thought that him going to the Colts might be a good look.
Right.
Now they finally have a team there.
Yeah.
I know it's the whole season, but, I mean, Nick Foles did it.
Right.
It was couple of different quarterbacks playing in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And when you think about it, because we've talked a lot on our past few episodes about Dak Prescott, could he be at least Dak? Could he be Dak? Could he be, you know, Case Keenum in Minnesota?
If you got the pieces that you say you got, he should be able to do that.
Yeah, I think
it's pressure.
Yeah. I think that no one should be sleeping on the Colts. They can still win that division. It's really only between them and Houston for the most part. You know, Tennessee, distant third, in my opinion. Jaguars, I'm not really taking seriously right now. But I could see them still winning 11 games.
I think they feel like they did the same thing.
Who did?
Jacksonville. I think they went and got that guy. They feel like they can plug in Nick Foles.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been a little concerned about their wide receiver core.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Allen Hurns, I can't remember the other one, because one went to Dallas and one went to Chicago.
Yeah, Allen Robinson went to Chicago.
Okay, yeah. Those were like their top two receivers, and I think both of them got hurt like the same year, and they just let both walk in free agency. And then I think, Marquise Lee was supposed to sprout out, but then didn't he get hurt last year?
He got hurt last year.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure about their wide receivers. I know they got Leonard Fournette. I know they got a defense that didn't play as good last year, but I don't know. That division might be tough.
Yeah.
If Houston don't just murder it, that might be tough.
Yeah, and Houston's got their own problems to deal with, too, with Jadeveon Clowney, you know, wanting to be out of Houston. Who knows how that whole thing's going to turn out. I'm intrigued, but, yeah, don't count the Colts out. The Colts got, like, I think they have three running backs. I know even though Marlon Mack had a heck of a year last year, I think they still brought in Spencer Ware, still brought in Charcandrick West as well.
Right, and I think they went and got a Carolina.
Devin Funchess.
Yeah, next to T.Y. Hilton.
Who they haven't had a number two receiver there for a while since, what, Pierre Garçon, maybe? Solid number two?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's going to be competitive.
Yeah, yeah. So don't count them out. I don't want to hear no Cinderella stories if they end up winning 10, 11 games because we told y'all here first. So y'all should have just listened. But no, congratulations to Andrew Luck being able to step away and, you know, be as healthy as you can be. You know, we definitely didn't want to see you take a hit and be knocked out of the league. Those things are always tragic. But I think we'll always wonder what if with him. I was never really the biggest Andrew Luck fan. I didn't think that he'd be the best quarterback in the league like people always projected coming out of Stanford. He kind of landed where I thought he would be, just very good. But ultimately, the Colts made the mistake. They should have just kept Peyton Manning. I understand why they didn't. But
I mean, because you could have let him sit for a couple of years and take some of them hits off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. His body might be better now.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But hey, it is what it is. But no, shout out Andrew Luck. Congratulations. Enjoy your retirement. Do you expect him to come back at any point?
Honestly, I say yes. I say he sits out for 2 years.
Mm.
I see him coming back around 32. Mm-hmm. I see him at least trying.
Mm-hmm.
He sits out two full seasons. That third year, he start feeling like, I don't know, my body ain't felt this good since I was probably about 25, 26 or whatever. Let me just see.
Right. You know what? Maybe his strategy is letting this offensive line mature a little bit. They did protect him last year, give him a couple years to mature, come back. And then all of a sudden he'll be Tom Brady.
Especially if I'm getting my full money.
Right.
If you're gonna give me that extra, whatever you don't technically have to give me because I'm not playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might as well just sit out and really just rehab and relax.
Yeah.
And I'll be back in a couple of years.
Huh. I'm intrigued. I don't think he's gonna come back, but you pitched it pretty well. So I'm on the fence now. I'm on the fence. So, yeah, shout out Andrew Luck. Let's move over to some NBA news. NBA always got to make some headlines somehow. So, the latest in the NBA, Lakers center. It's weird saying that now. Lakers center DeMarcus Cousins has a warrant out for his arrest. Basically, kind of what happened there is he was getting married, and he was on the phone with his baby mama, trying to get his son basically to be able to go to the wedding. I guess, you know, the whole, they were kind of at an impasse there about, you know, his son being at the wedding. And ultimately he said, I think when she said no, he said, I'll put a bullet in your head, I swear. Something along the lines of that. But, I mean, how do you even react to that? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's already fishy that she was recording the call.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you recording a call with your baby daddy? It just sounds like entrapment. You know what I mean? Like maybe not knowing he's going to say that, but he's going to say something.
And
or you're going to expose
him. When you don't give me the full conversation.
Right.
Now I don't even know. I mean, it's bad, but you give me a 12-second video and I'm supposed to get all that I need to know?
Right.
I don't know about that. Yeah, did he know he was being recorded?
Probably not.
No. He definitely wasn't. But it's like, I got to ask that question now. And I shouldn't have to ask that question.
Yeah.
That should be on tape.
Yeah.
And you know we recording this, right? Yeah, I don't give a fuck what I say right now. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I need to hear that sometimes.
Mm. No, that's true.
Sometimes I need to know what got y'all here.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I mean, I believe she hung up and that's when the video ended.
Right.
But what was all that leading up to it?
Yeah. Who knows what she said? Who knows how much he was begging her, you know?
And then, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think he finna kill you.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just don't. Now, when you start talking about right and wrong, then law versus morals, and whether he can, I mean, obviously he can't because it's a warrant out for his arrest, but I don't think he really gonna do that. So right. It's like, I don't know. He said, I've said some things too, right. But like, I ain't gonna do that.
I was gonna say, it's one of those things where, like, you know, people always say like, oh, on my son, I swear, you know, or oh, on my mama, you know.
It's just a different understanding. Yeah. I hear stuff like that all the time. You know what? Everybody's still alive.
Yeah.
Next time I see you,
it's on site.
Like, you know how many Facebook fights were supposed to happen, but didn't? Threats aren't the same to me. I'm not even finna call nobody over a threat.
Right. Like, just pull up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really gonna do it. Like,
I don't know. That's just me. Yeah. You tell me you gonna do something, and it's like, I mean, I guess. But if I see you the next time and I see that act, that threat coming into fruition, like, no, that's really happening. All right, now let me start. Maybe I just prepare too late. Maybe that's a bad thing, but I don't know. I hear a lot, and talk really don't mean much to me. So when I heard it, it was just like, dang, he really said that?
Right. I mean, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would never say it to, like, to my wife in any sort of circumstances, even if, you know, she knows I'm not serious.
Nah,
but
I wouldn't say it.
It's just tough because you got to know the climate that we're in. You know, it's to the point where, you know, audio recordings are as much as, you know, you being saying the same thing in person, or, you know, raising your hand to her or anything like that. So especially, you know, these things set to women, you know, think about Donald Sterling, you know, recording, and that made him sell the team.
Yeah.
Think about Tyreek Hill. That almost got him in trouble there too.
Oh, the actor. He was talking to his daughter about her hanging around a bunch of like N-words, and he told her she was going to get like raped.
Oh, I just forgot who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, because what's the name said his name in a rap too, Royce the 5'9".
Oh,
like, we didn't know that warned his daughter about, but I can't remember. I think he was in What Women Want.
Or even Liam Neeson talking about, you know, when someone he knew got raped, and he was like, oh, I was just waiting for the next black bastard, you know, to... You never heard that? I'll play that for you when we're done recording.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Racist.
Yeah. Racist. But no, I'm going to play you that Liam Neeson clip a little later. Because that was in a rap, too. It was that song Under the Sun off of the Dreamville album. I forgot who it was, but he said... Well, I'll play it for you. He was like, wish it would, like Liam Neeson. But yeah, I digress.
You know, that would have went over my head.
Right.
I wouldn't have caught that.
I didn't catch it the first time, although I knew about the Liam Neeson situation already. But I listened to it again. And I was like, you know, you just got to listen to it, you know.
All right. So the warrant has been issued. It's public knowledge. When should DeMarcus go in?
I think he should wait till Monday, because you can't turn yourself in now and risk staying overnight. I mean, I know it's not the end of the world. You know, you 6'11", 200, you know, 60 pounds or whatever, but I'm not trying to stay over the weekend, you know, until I can get in front of a judge. So I got to turn myself in Monday morning.
I understand. And I think that's best for the fact that you don't got to stay overnight. Just for that purpose, for your own selfish purposes. But I think because we have public perception, and because he's already a 6'11 big black man with tattoos who just threatened to put a bullet in his baby mama head, who's also known as a troublemaker on the court, I think he should go in tomorrow. Because if he wait till Monday, it's like, that's three more days of talking about it. Even if you don't get the television part, because most shows like First Takes and stuff, they take like the Saturdays and Sundays off, and then Monday gonna be Memorial Day, but still, you must holiday, you might as well wait till Tuesday. Labor Day, I'm sorry, you might as well wait till Tuesday. Like, let me,
that's a whole nother day.
Exactly. I was supposed to go to Vegas this weekend. Ain't no telling what plans he had.
Well, he should have turned himself in today then. Get in front of a judge on Friday, have a good weekend.
You don't know if the judge is going to be there Friday.
Hey, I'm DeMarcus Cousins.
I know they're going to be. Oh, but Monday, you might have to wait till Tuesday, honestly. A judge might not show up. No, it's Labor Day. Yeah. You got to wait.
Yeah, so if he turned himself in tomorrow, And that
is going to be, he going to have to wait that out. But I think you do take that time to, you know, just make sure all your chess pieces are in the right spot.
Yeah.
For when you step in that building. But she did this on purpose. I think she thought about this just like we're thinking about it and talking about it now.
Right.
Oh, girl, because you know he ain't going to get to see one till Monday. Nah, girl, Monday, Labor Day. He going to have to wait till Tuesday. Or I'm going to try to get some money, and then I'll tell him I dropped the charges. Mm-hmm. And then they'll pull the warrant. Man, women are dirty.
But, yeah, and then...
Women going to hate
me. How are you not going to let... Because I believe his son is 7 years old. How are you not going to let him go to his dad's wedding? Is
you that petty?
Right, like you guys aren't together. Like there's a reason. Like, do you want him back? Most of them will say, yeah. "Hell no, I don't want him back."
Hell yeah.
Then let him be happy with some other woman.
She being petty for a reason, and she probably the reason they broke up. She probably did something because she thought he was doing something. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it all on her. I'm putting it all on her only because it's a child involved. And I feel like that is petty. You can't go to your daddy wedding.
Right. And
that's wrong.
And assuming he's going to be married to this woman forever.
If like, you can't come, then you can't come. I'm sorry. We're not in that place to where you're comfortable enough to see this. I'm sorry. But I'm in love.
Yeah.
And I just want my son there. I understand that. I've never been in that position, but I can understand that. And it's like, put yourself aside for a moment and just see that this is a son seeing his father get married. You mad because he don't see him marrying you. Like, you got to take that out.
And the thing is, don't we need more young black boys to see things like that?
Yeah,
hey,
here's
a black man getting married, committing his life to someone. Yeah, my daddy.
My daddy. Right. I didn't see my daddy get married.
Right. And he, you know what, Boogie probably had something cute planned for him too. Like, hey, you gonna be my best man, or you know, at least the ring bearer. Like,
that's foul.
Yeah, I don't know. It's foul. I don't think this really means much moving forward. I don't really see him getting to play anyway. Yeah. Although the NBA would probably suspend him for like 3 games or something. You know, personal conduct policy.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think he'll have that coming for him. Yeah, he'll have that coming for him. But if I'm the NBA or if I'm the Lakers, what I do is I just clear him three games early so he can go ahead and serve that suspension. You know, be like, hey, he's active, but we wasn't gonna play him until next week anyway. So
yeah.
Well, that's
a smart one.
Well, yeah, it's probably unethical too. But you know, hey, it's big money.
We're talking about a non-profit billion-dollar corporation.
Right.
They can.
Yeah, they good. They good.
They fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. I guess maybe we should do like an over-under on when he turns himself in.
Do the Lakers release him?
Nah. Nah, I don't think so. I mean, for what?
People have been released for less.
That's true.
People have been released for showing up late to film.
Hey. Javarius Crittenden and Gilbert Arenas, they had guns in the locker room. And Gilbert Arenas came back after a long suspension. So.
And they pretty much said, everybody had guns in that locker room. We was just the only ones that pulled them out. Like, duh, of course we all had them.
Right.
But now I'm just leaving it in my car. Okay.
No, I mean, I think you keep them. For lack of a better phrase, it's not a fireable offense in this situation.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If they release him, the Clippers are going to sign him.
Yeah.
Just to be petty.
Right.
You can sit. We was good anyway. Yeah. You can sit down there.
And then how motivated do you think Boogie will be to come back?
Boy. Yeah, I mean, 25 and 25
minutes. Right. They would officially have I think they would turn into an official big three if they brought Boogie. A motivated Boogie.
Now you got, I mean, it would all depend on health, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I've seen DeMarcus Cousins give Anthony Davis work.
Fits, yeah.
I don't care how good of a defensive player you find Anthony Davis to be. I done seen DeMarcus Cousins give him trouble. Of course he done did it to him because they're both great big men.
Yeah.
But if you separate that, I got the Clippers all the way. Because right now, the Lakers were my favorite with DeMarcus.
Mm-hmm.
They're still my favorite, but it's a lot closer.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. I think so, too. And they got the coaching edge, you know, especially adding Ty Lue as well to the bench. You already got Lawrence Frank on the bench.
He was there before.
Yeah, he was there before.
So you got that chemistry.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But hopefully everything turns out okay for Boogie.
Yeah, praying for you.
Yeah, and in the end, we don't want to see, you know, his son, you know, suffer in any of this, in any further than he has already.
I pray for the baby mama, too. Hopefully she can. I mean, I've just dealt with women, so I feel like it might be a little bitterness there.
Yeah.
If I'm going to talk about her in a negative manner, then I can pray for her in a positive one.
We healing on this podcast.
I'm trying. I need to be better.
Yeah, so hopefully that situation plays itself out and, you know, everyone ends up coming out of it okay as a result. All right, sticking with the NBA, let's go to Joe Johnson, Big 3 MVP Joe Johnson, playing in the championship game, I believe, this weekend against the Killer 3s. So Joe Johnson, in his first year in the Big 3, has just absolutely balled out. I know he broke the record for most points scored in a season, basically showing people, hey, he still got it. And, you know, as the Big 3 make their appearances, you know, kind of all over the country, I know they last played in New Orleans. You know, you had Alvin Gentry there. I think their GM, David Griffin, was there as well, you know, at the game, watching him ball in person. So Joe Johnson's getting a lot of interest from teams. I think the Sixers are bringing him in for a workout.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee. He's got interest from Milwaukee, interest from the Clippers, interest from the Nuggets, and the Pelicans as well. This isn't the first time that we've seen a Big 3 player, you know, get a tryout. And Amari Stoudemire kind of being the first one.
Monte.
So it's kind of funny because when we first talked about the Big 3, we said it could potentially turn into situations like this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy how it actually is playing out that way.
Maybe Carmelo should go down there. Yeah. If it's getting Big 3 players' looks and you're not even getting – aside from the unofficial Nets practices.
Yeah.
And your one-on-one workouts with actual players who still respect you, you just need to show that you can play and you can ball
right
in an organized setting.
And the thing is, Melo would be box office in the Big
Absolutely.
3.
Absolutely. So, yeah, pack whatever out.
And you know he loves that, so why not go to the Big 3?
He could go down there and be the first ever Hall of Fame, like Big 3 player. Like, no, we got to do our Hall of Fame now.
Right. Melo would be in the Big 3 what they thought Iverson was going to be when it first started.
Yes.
So he could really be larger than life.
He really just didn't take care of his body.
Nah.
And that's sad because he was always such a small athletic dude. Like, it's not like you were Shaq.
Right.
Like, you had a smaller body to take care of. Like, good dog, what's wrong with you?
Right.
Like, when did you just stop, like, having a six-pack? If he had Terrell Owens' work ethic.
Yeah.
He could have played about 4 more years in the NBA and still average about 17.
Right. The problem is, though, he ran out of games to play, and you know he don't practice. So, you know, as a result, you just ain't playing. Had he cared about practice a little bit, I think he'd be ready to go.
Okay. I got a question. If Allen Iverson came out in 2006-07 with the way players take the offseason now, would he be a better NBA player if he had just come out a little later? Like, actually, because, you know, a lot of people say that he revolutionized the NBA, especially from a style perspective. To a degree, Iverson was a little ahead of his time. If you actually place him in like a Michael Beasley, Derrick Rose draft, does he become a better all-time NBA player?
I think he's a better all-time NBA player, but it's not even because of the era. It's not because of the fact that, you know, the game has now caught up to his style of play. I think it's just the fact that the game's a lot freer. It's a lot looser than it used to be. Because, I mean, think about Iverson going to the rack and having Shaq in the middle, who could actually bump you with his body and send you flying into the third row.
Right.
They're not doing that in the league anymore. They haven't been since, you know.
Ooh, he averaged about 34.
Yeah. He could do everything that James Harden could do in terms of scoring. Maybe not the step back threes like that, but I mean still just being able to just dominate the rock and do what you want to do. He could score at will. I mean, I think he'd be better, or his numbers would be better as a result. I don't think he would shoot, you know, in the low 40s, you know, 41-42%, because he can blow by anyone, and he could finish at the rim. He was a strong finisher at the rim for his
very
small size. He's one of the best pound for pound players of all time. What do you think?
That efficiency yeah. might go up.
I think so too.
Because no hand check, because like you said, the big man has become obsolete and scarce in the league. So a lot of times you playing with 6'7", 6'8" centers as opposed to, right, you know, the 7-footers, 2 7-footers on the floor. Like, mm-hmm, I'm playing during the same time that you got Tim Duncan and David Robinson, right, on the floor. Like, it's a lot different.
Yeah, and there were a lot of NBA centers that were in there to be Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah.
Like, so it's, no, you better body him up. Like, you better send him flying to the ground. But it's not like that anymore. You're going to find Draymond Green protecting the rim now. Like,
oh, yeah, it's a lot different than Alonzo Mourning.
Right, exactly. So, no, I think AI would be better, or at least his production would be better in this era. But going back to Joe Johnson, I mean, Joe Johnson is, what, 38 years old? I think a team like Milwaukee, a team like, I don't know if Denver's a good fit. I think Denver could use a player like him, but when you're talking about Joe Johnson,
slows him down a little bit.
Exactly.
I mean, Jokic isn't the fastest person on the court, but he's not really needed.
Yeah, it changes their whole offense in, mm-hmm, key moments of the game, and I don't think that he's not. Although he's clutch, you shouldn't be playing through Joe Johnson late in the game. Like, I want to have him on the court, but I'm not running ISOs for Joe,
I mean,
to finish the game.
I hope nobody really expects for him to average 24 in the NBA.
I think some people do. I think they really think he's, like, coming back, like, rejuvenated, and then he's going to see, like, his best season.
Yeah, I mean, he can still play. Like, you're still better than one of the 450 people with roster spots, but you're not a top 15 shooting guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you
don't have too great expectations.
Yeah. But if you're looking for someone that's not afraid of the big moment, you know, that role player that can step up and knock down a shot late, maybe even Houston should be looking at Joe Johnson.
I don't think so. That didn't work last time.
Yeah, it didn't work last
time. You just put me in
a
corner too much.
Right.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah, but I guarantee he would have knocked more shots down than Trevor Ariza did in that game 7, where they missed 27 threes in a row.
That's true. Yeah. PJ.
Yeah, PJ.
Gerald. Everybody. James. Everybody was off.
Right,
yeah. Put ISO Joe at the top and just let him run off. I mean, that's what James do. Let Joe do it for about 2 minutes.
Exactly. And then you're going to spell, you know, James Harden for a few minutes. He's, instead of playing 43 minutes, you're playing 38.
That's the crazy part. Like, that's the same exact thing. Like, just let him do it and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. All it is instead of playing from, you know, 30 feet out like James is doing, you're about, you know, 22, you know, like, 20 feet in. So, yeah. I don't know. But I think this is probably the best thing to happen to the big three, because this can be the future for them moving forward, especially
it's
as the stars.
Attention.
Yeah. Especially as that star power just continues to, you know,
because now it's free promotion.
Yeah.
Because you're being associated with your competitor,
mm-hmm,
because they're looking at your players.
Yeah.
And they have to mention that we have to mention us every time.
Right, exactly. And think about
former
the fans.
NBA player, like, they mention us together every time.
Yeah, and then we've talked about the up and comers as well. So think about fans of the Drew League that got to see, you know, Franklin Session play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually see him play against more NBA talent, because we saw him give Denzel Valentine the work.
Yeah. So, I actually just played basketball the other day with some professionals, and one of them was his teammate, the center, tall, light-skinned dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just playing with him.
Okay.
I ain't gonna lie, he was giving Juju some work. But you could tell Juju wasn't really playing.
Yeah.
Like, he was just backpedaling on court, letting him go to the rim, and he was slowly getting up court, and he was just shooting threes. You could tell he was just out there for condition.
I can't do that. I'm too competitive. I'm not just
going
to let you.
No, I was trying.
Yeah.
I was like, he dunked on me. I was mad.
He dunked on you?
He did dunk on me. It was like,
you try to take a charge.
No, I jumped with him. It was like, I'm not just not going to jump with you, dog.
Right.
But no, I was standing underneath the basket, because I was just trying to get a rebound because it was like close to the end of the game. And then I looked up and I was like, oh, he right here. And they just threw the ball to him and he caught it. But it's like we both jumped at the same time. And when he caught it, he was just right there. So he just turned and dunked it. Like we didn't, like we barely touched. I didn't fall.
Yeah.
It wasn't like my body didn't hurt, but it was like we both came down. We just looked at each other. And then my brother was like, that's why you shouldn't be standing under the rim. And I was like, I don't care.
Right.
I was like, that was supposed to happen. Yeah. But and everybody was laughing at me, but it wasn't as funny because I wasn't embarrassed.
Right.
I mean,
it was like
5'4". He's 6'9".
Right. And it's one of those things, especially when you're undersized like that, especially depending on, you know, where you're at on the court. Sometimes you just got to be like the pickpocket. So like when they bring the ball down, you just got to try to swipe it. That's your only chance at really like
contesting. I normally play under the basket with the big man anyways. Right. It's just I ended up with the wrong big man because they had other people, you know, 6'5", 6'4".
Right.
But you wasn't catching it and dunking it right there. Like it's just a little bit of a difference.
And he's 6'9", to where he can catch the ball above his head. He doesn't need to bring exactly. it back down.
He and that's all he did. He just caught it above his head and put it right there. Like it's not like he... you know, jump 40 inches off the ground, but he was right there.
Right, he ain't DeAndre Jordan, you like.
Not at all. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I came down on my feet, and we just looked at each other. And he was like, honestly, I didn't even know you jumped with me. I just knew you was right there. I was like, forget you, man. But, I mean, nobody recorded it. It didn't go viral.
Well,
like,
thank God. Thank God.
Hey, man, I could use some attention. Oh, I want him. Oh, he know juju. It happens.
Yeah. No, it does happen, and especially us being more defensive-minded. Yeah. There have been plenty of times where, you know, you got him beat off the dribble. I won't say cross, but it's just like, he got me. But
I reached. I went for it. Like, I was trying.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes you win some, you lose some. I've never seen a single defender lock up everyone. Michael Jordan got crossed.
Exactly.
So... you know,
even Kawhi done got beat by Steph.
Yeah.
First time I seen Kawhi guard Steph, he got dead dirty.
He did.
Because I remember, because they said it was like, whoa, they finna put Kawhi on. They put Kawhi on him. Oh, that inbound play was disgusting. I said, he lost them quick.
Yeah, So everybody's gotten that work. Chris Paul's gotten that work by Steph Curry.
Steph done got it by Chris. Well, I mean, we talking about good defenders, my bad. I'm pretty sure Scotty got beat.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Patrick Beverly has too.
I seen Grant Hill beat Scotty. Scotty said he came into the league. Not only was he long, but he was just so quick. I had never seen nothing like that.
Yeah. So I mean, it just happens. It happens.
That's my story. I got dunked on. Yeah. But just real quick, because we gonna move on. It was ironic because at the beginning of before that game started, we were standing under the basket, you know, talking, and one of the dudes said something about somebody getting dunked on, and I said, man, this is crazy, because I ain't never been dunked on in a pickup game. I was like, as many pickup games I've played in, it's like, and I like guarding the big people. I always guard the people taller than me. Like, I've never been dunked on. I said, one dude tried it, but he missed it. And it was like, oh, that's because you want to be down there. I said, please, I jump with anybody. I be down there. They just missed the dunks. I've never been dunked on. And then I got dunked on in that same game.
Should have knocked on the hardwood.
I know. Well, it was Frank H. I don't know what that floor is.
Fake hardwood. It ain't that real hardwood, but it ain't that
shout
ain't
out
that
to
little
the H, though.
Plastic whatever they have at like Clovis Rec and, you know, spots like that.
No, it's definitely better than that.
Yeah. Man. We gotta play another rec league too. But that's I gotta get conditioned for
sure. I'm trying to do like a 15-pound challenge. I'm trying to drop 15. But I need somebody to take like this. I don't know. I want to do like a $50 bet or something.
Okay. I like your energy. I like your style.
I'm serious.
Yeah. All right. So let's move back to the NFL. So Saquon Barkley has made some headlines this week, basically saying that, hey, I am the best running back in the league. I really believe I'm the best running back in the league. A lot of people going back and forth. Obviously, Saquon has, you know, pretty good leg to stand on. You're talking about over 2,000 all-purpose yards last year.
Right.
But a lot of people are saying, hey, first year in the league, you know, people don't quite know what to expect in you. So who's your top five running backs in the league right now?
I'm disregarding what I saw at the end of the year. Well, not the end of the year, but postseason because of injury. I'm disregarding that because of what Ty Gurley did all year prior to that injuries, you know, that's what that is. But I'm expecting the guy I saw before the injury. So I'm taking Ty Gurley number one. I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott number two because I still think he's better than Saquon Barkley. I think he's just a better natural runner than Saquon Barkley. He's done it for a longer time period. And I feel like Saquon Barkley might have a worse year, his second year, because it all, like, we know you now.
Yeah.
We know your running habits, what holes you like, what plays you like. We have, you know, we can study against you. There's no Odell Beckham there. So you don't have that guy. Your other top three receivers are either hurt or something, injured. Right. So I don't think Saquon's going to have a great year. So I put Ezekiel 2 only because I didn't see anything from Le'Veon Bell last year. I want to put him third based on who he was the year prior, but I can't do that. So because of what Saquon Barkley did last year, I can put him 3. No, I'm not putting him 3. I'm putting Alvin Kamara 3. I'll put Saquon... I'll put Saquon 4, and I'll put Christian McCaffrey 5 only because I expected Christian McCaffrey to come out the gate like Saquon did last year.
Right.
But
it took
because
him a while.
Yeah, because it took him a while, I'm still trying to figure out if that was a fluke or if you finally developed. So I'll go that order, and then I'll probably change that once I see what Le'Veon Bell really looked like.
So it was... Gurley, Zeke, Kamara, Saquon, and then McCaffrey, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mine is kind of similar, slightly different order, though. So 5A, 5B, McCaffrey, Le'Veon. Like you said, just because we haven't seen Le'Veon, we don't
know. If I can do that, I'll do the same.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just it's one of those things where it's disrespectful not to have him on there because we were talking about him being the best running back. Or in the conversation, at least for the past three or 4 years, so we just don't know. Just because you didn't play doesn't mean you know you're not good anymore.
Right. Right.
Four. I'm gonna go Alvin Kamara. I love what he brings to the table. He is probably the best receiving running back out of this whole top five or top six. Even better than Le'Veon, in my opinion. I want it. I guess he's going to have the chance to run between the tackles more this season, obviously with no Mark Ingram. So he'll probably be able to shoot up this board. But right now I got him 4 just because he's elusive. He's a great receiving running back.
Right.
Three, I'm going to go Zeke. I love what Zeke brings to the table. Zeke brings consistency. He brings power. He brings enough elusiveness. He's probably the least elusive out of all these backs on my top five. But, you know, I like Zeke. Zeke's consistent. Two, just like you said, only because I'm not going to take injuries into account, Saquon is 2 for me. If I took it into account, Saquon would be number 1. I got to put Saquon over Zeke because although Zeke gives you that consistency and... When you break down Saquon's stats last year, or break down his games last year, there were a lot of games where outside of that big home run play where he ran for a 55-yard touchdown, he'd be averaging, you know, 3.5 yards per carry. And I think part of that is just rookie woes. But you do have to remember playing with very little to no talent. Odell didn't play much last season. Terrible offensive line. We know how terrible Eli was. So think about the fact that defenses had 8 in the box against him, yet he still gave you 2,000 all-purpose yards. I remember I had Odell on my fantasy team, and I was getting mad because Saquon was getting like 10 catches a game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, still getting 100 yards rushing. It's like, dude, man. And he was like literally their whole offense. So seeing what Saquon does, he's a lot more elusive than Zeke, and he's even a slightly bigger than Zeke. Zeke's probably about 225.
Yeah, I'd say he's a little stockier.
Yeah, it's all in his legs, kind of like how it was with like Earl Campbell, you know, back in the day. So But for him to be so elusive, I still remember last season that like spin move he did along the sideline. It's like, dude, how'd you even stay in bounds? Like it was pretty cool. So I gotta give two to Saquon. Todd Gurley is number one running back still. I think unless he shows up flat this year or injuries seriously hinder him, then it's like, okay, you know, I think that number one spot is gonna be up for grabs.
Yeah, and I would hate to see that happen, to see his prime end so soon.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when you talk about running backs, that's their career. You know, you in and out, get your money while you can, because next year ain't guaranteed. That's what happens. I mean, that's football, period. You know, NFL, not for long. It happens. Yeah. I think average career is like three years.
That, yeah.
But, you know, just because it's my favorite team, just because it's, you know, one of my favorite players on that favorite team, I would hate to see us lose him at his peak so early.
Yeah. That would be not necessarily the end of the Rams franchise as we know it, or this, you know, iteration of the team as we know it. But it will put a serious dent in their title hopes.
Yeah, especially if just as a core, they can't make up for it. If Malcolm Brown can't, he can't do 1,800, so let me do 700.
Right.
And then Daryl Henderson, I got 500 receiving, and I got 450 rushing. You know, if they can't pick up where he's falling off, then yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I think there's a little... People discount what Todd Gurley did a little bit, or what he's done, only because of the success of CJ Anderson.
Yeah.
So when you see that, it's like, oh well, is it really Todd? Is it the offensive line? I mean,
CJ was nice in Denver.
Right. Exactly. But you know, people don't know NFL like that. They thought that this guy came literally out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he hasn't played in the league in 5 years, and here he goes balling out. Like, dude just had a 1,000-yard season like 2 years before that.
Right.
So, I mean, CJ's always been the real deal, but he just always dealt with injuries himself too. But, yeah, I think you – when you watch Todd Gurley play, it's just – he's clearly the number one running back. You know, he just runs so smoothly. You know, he's got the great, you know, combination of power and speed as well. Especially for his size and for his physique, it's kind of crazy that he runs the way he does, you know, compared to some of the other running backs in the league. But yeah, I think until further notice, you know, Todd Gurley is number one. But Saquon, if Saquon puts up another season like he did last year, I'm sorry, I don't care what Todd does. Saquon's number one.
You don't care what he does,
because Saquon,
if they have similar numbers, but you know, Todd. Well, you don't know, but I mean, last year the man had 21 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But let's say they have similar numbers all across the board. Saquon's just better. If both of them do what Saquon did last year, Saquon's better.
Yeah, because Saquon gave me consistency now. So now I know.
What? But
now
what was he doing before? What was Todd Gurley doing before the injury? So you look at that and you project what I would have ended with. I didn't play all 16 games. Right. And I still had 21 touchdowns.
Yeah, no. Todd's done a heck of a game, or done a heck of a job. He's put up great performances consistently.
So if he rushes for 12, catches 4,
But I do think that Saquon's capabilities are better than Todd.
Oh, like, you're disrespectful.
Nah, not disrespectful. He's, like,
what does he have?
I think Saquon might be more elusive than Todd Gurley. By a hair.
I've never seen Saquon leap over anybody.
Ooh, I'll show you some highlights.
I said I didn't see it. I didn't watch that game.
Yeah, but and I think that's part of it too. You know, we really only thing we look back at is like his, you know, Penn State highlights, because you don't really get to see that much because the Giants weren't any good. But
I just didn't care about it. I'm familiar with Saquon. Of course, I've seen him play. Of course, I've seen him run, but. Do I watch every play of every game?
Right.
No. And it's a couple plays. I don't know how he did it. And it's not that I don't know how he did it. Like, oh, my God, he did such a great job running the ball on that play.
Yeah.
It was like, what was the defense doing? How did y'all leave that? How did y'all not close in? It was like the corner and the safety just didn't know who was going to tackle him, so they just left it wide open.
Remember, he had a big run against the Jaguars in week 1 last year. Like, it was like a 60-something yard touchdown.
Yeah, like, what was that? Like, I don't know. A couple of those plays, I just looked at the defense.
Yeah, but I think that's one thing Saquon has more than anyone else is that home run ability. you know, I think better than any of those running backs that I named. You know, how many? All right, how many 50-yard touchdowns?
He had it too.
Who?
Todd. When he first came in, he had, because I
did. He did.
I said the same thing about Todd. I said I love Todd Gurley, and I, you can even ask Cameron. He can quote me on this. I said I love Todd Gurley. I just hate how, yeah, he had 120 yards, but he had a 50-yard run.
Mm-hmm. What else are you supposed to do? You weren't.
I was like, yeah, but I didn't like it because it's like you averaging 4 yards a carry, and then all right, the game is almost over. Now you break for a long one in the fourth, and you get 60 yards, so now you averaging 5.5, and it just looked great now when it looked decent at first.
And I think that's the those are the things that like Le'Veon, that Zeke have, where it's like, nah, they're just going to be consistent. Like, they're not going to have that 50-yard touchdown run. Probably not.
Yeah.
But
your longs might be 20, but you're going to have 130.
Exactly. So they're – essentially, they are averaging about 5.5 yards per carry for the entire game. So I think that's what they have, that consistency. I think it's just really what your preference is. You know, but having that home run capability, and I think Saquon has it. I think Todd Gurley has it. I don't know how much he'll have it now, but he still has it. Alvin Kamara has it, you know, kind of on, you know, sweep plays and things like that. We'll have to see it more between the tackles. Christian McCaffrey has that.
Especially in a return game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Christian McCaffrey is going to find his way shooting up this list, too. Give him, I think give him maybe another year or two. I could see him being a top three running back. Yeah. And he runs between the tackles, too. That was the biggest concern about with him coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just didn't really get to see it his first year because he was splitting carries with Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, so they were like,
who was a bigger back.
Exactly. So they were like, oh, well, you know, Christian can't run between the tackles, so we're just going to do, you know, sweep plays and, you know, have him be a receiver and all this stuff. But now he's getting all the carries. He's going to show us something. So, yeah. Interesting top five for running backs. You know, we got different perspectives, but, you know, still, I think we all kind of recognize who are the top five backs in the league. Last thing we got for y'all before we wrap this up, Urban Meyer had some comments about Trevor Lawrence, basically stated that Trevor Lawrence is the best college quarterback ever. And this made news about 3 days ago, and he just got kind of like ripped for it because it's like, wait, when I think of college quarterbacks, bro, you coached Tim Tebow.
Right.
You coached Tim Tebow. You think about, you know, guys like Matt Leinart. Mm-hmm. You think about Vince Young. You think about Deshaun Watson, you know, he might not even be the best Clemson quarterback of all time.
And they're definitely the older guys.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah, so,
Colt McCoy.
Yeah, Colt McCoy is very decorated at Texas. So I think once he heard that, he walked those comments back because you could listen to the video. He says he is the best college quarterback ever. And then he walked it back and said, well, what I was saying is he's the best college quarterback right now. Like, that's, you can't walk it back like that. That's not what you said.
Nah.
I mean, but Trevor Lawrence is special because think about the year before when Alabama won the national title. Think about how much they talked about Tua Tagovailoa. They talked about him being, you know, number one pick next year, all that good stuff. Could he potentially be one of the greatest, you know, throwers of the football in college football history? And now we're kind of like, Tua who? Like, it's literally all about Trevor Lawrence, who came in as a true freshman and, you know, led that team to a title.
Right.
I think that they still got to show respect to Deshaun Watson, though, because Deshaun Watson did more while at Clemson.
Absolutely.
And he put on two of the greatest performances against, you know, Alabama's defenses as well in the national title game. So if Trevor wins, like, two more championships, or if he can at least make it to two more, then I'll have that conversation. But until then, Trevor Lawrence isn't even the best Clemson quarterback of all time.
Definitely don't agree with Urban Meyer. I honestly think he could have found a better way to kind of skate out of that.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, well, what I was trying to say was, I feel like he has the potential to be the greatest ever. I mean, you look at his stature, you look at his talent, you look at the team he's on, so he's most likely going to be successful competing for championships. I just think he could be that.
Yeah.
He was just speaking in future reference of what I might be able to say about him. So, yeah, the way he just tried to get out of that was just terrible. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But you got to understand who you are and what your knowledge and IQ of college sports should be when making a statement like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't like the way he tried to get out of it. If you feel like that, I've always said it because I've said some stuff. Like, I remember I was talking to my pops about a Facebook post that I put up, and he was like, you know, so what's going on? And I explained everything, how it came about, and I told him when I woke up the next morning, I knew what it looked like. I knew it shouldn't have been there. But you know what, pops? I'm grown. Mm-hmm. And I said it. So I'm leaving it. I'm standing on my 10. He was like, no, I feel you, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. That's really all it is. Stop doing that. If you said he's the best ever, say he's the best ever and explain why. And whoever don't agree, don't agree. I'm mm-hmm. not saying it for you to agree. I'm saying it because it's what I felt like saying at that moment.
Yeah, and I feel you on that. And I do think that if he was going to walk it back, he could have just been like, no, I said Trevor Lawrence was an all-time talent.
just like of his talent. Yeah,
just like they say about Aaron Rodgers. No one says he's the greatest quarterback of all time, but they say he's got the best arm talent of all time. Up there with Marino, Elway, all those guys. So he could at least walked it back to that and be like, no, I think he's an all-time talent. He has potential to be the best quarterback, college quarterback of all time. But you can't just completely say, nah, I said he's the best quarterback right now. Like, especially on video, for him to have coached so many great college quarterbacks, you know, when you think about, obviously the first one we think of is Tim Tebow.
Right.
Chris Leak was even solid before that. Most people don't really know Chris Leak from Florida.
I've always been a fan of Chris Leak. I always wished he could have had a better NFL opportunity.
Yeah, just didn't play out that way. You know, going to Ohio State, you know, you had JT Barrett, you had Dwayne Haskins, you had Cardale Jones for a couple games. So even before that, wasn't there someone before that? Because there was
the
someone
one who
else
converted to a receiver and he got
drafted. Yeah, Braxton Miller.
Braxton Miller.
So you had some great college quarterbacks. I don't know. And that's not one of those things that just slips out. Like, the greatest ever, like, that never slips out in conversation. Like, just like how we were talking about running backs, I'm not going to say, well, no, I think Saquon is the best ever over Todd Gurley.
Best like, ever. Talking about the best giant, you put him over Tiki already. Like, come on now. You can't just say that.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't just slip.
Yeah, that don't slip out. I mean, I know he's kind of new to media, you know, just recently retired as a coach and everything, but I think he got like a crash course and like going viral.
Watch your words, boy.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go viral, like, you better stand by what you said, because like, that's gonna be looped for the rest of history. So like, let's say if Trevor Lawrence ends up being a bust for the rest of his college career, like, they're gonna be looping that, like, Urban Meyer the genius, like, he's gonna have a reputation like Paul Pierce. So yeah. he's at risk of being that. But yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. We just thank you guys for tuning in again. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, all that good stuff. Also, shout out C-Mac. We never shout out C-Mac. This is the studio where we record all of our sessions. We just appreciate them providing, you know, this equipment and stuff and allowing us in here every week to post as well. So yeah, shout out C-Mac. Last thing, Fantasy Football League. Spots are closing up fast. Make sure to DM us at FanCulturePod if you're interested in joining. We got money up for grabs, bragging rights, all that good stuff. So tune in. That Fantasy Draft is going to be on Labor Day at 6 o'clock. So you got to get your spot just before then. Got anything else to add, Carl?
That's a wrap.
All right, that's a wrap. Till next time, y'all. Peace.